and welcome to All the Horrible Things, episode 74.
74. 74. And we have two new movies.
Two new movies in this October month where so much has just dropped horror style. Like, it's you can't even keep up with it.
There's so
much going on.
In a great way.
I don't even know if we're going to be able to tackle them all here. What do we got? Appendage, Totally Killer, The Mill, Suitable Flesh. Today we're talking about No One Will Save You and Pet Sematary. I got to tell you, when I first saw previews for Pet Sematary, in my head I thought it was a series.
Yes.
I feel like they sold it as a series and then suddenly it's a movie.
Yes. Everyone I've talked to has said the same thing. I was under the impression too. I don't know. I also thought David Duchovny was going to be in it a little bit more, but no.
Yeah. I got to tell you right off the bat, let's talk Pet Sematary first.
All right.
Didn't love it.
Did not love it either.
I love the first film and the remake so much. They're both amazing. Yeah. But this just misses the mark. And I'd say a lot of that has to do with just Judd. I didn't love Arlene, you know?
Right. And I really liked the premise of this idea. I thought it was a really cool way to do a prequel and a very interesting character to focus it on, to center it on. I liked the idea that basically all the parents in the town like knew. So it was like, you know, we already know as an audience what the Pet Sematary is about. Let's just push that all aside. We don't need to rediscover it. Let's take it from an angle where the parents are already like, yeah, we already know what's going on too. We'll explain it a little bit to the kids, but I thought it was a good premise. But I think you're right. I don't think I loved the characters.
If it was more of an ensemble and it was less focused on Judd, I think it would have worked much better, because you're absolutely right. When it came to Henry Thomas and what is it, Pam Grier, and of course the cop, and then there was another guy, like this like cabal of those who protect the town.
Yeah.
They focused more on that, because when that started to pop up, latter half of, you know, the film, it was too late to really care, and then everything just kind of gets out of control and everyone starts dying left and right, and there's not enough character development of people that I wanted to care about, like Pam Grier's character before she's, you know, slaughtered.
She was going to be in this. It was a lovely surprise, and then just like,
I love her, she was great. Okay, this is very interesting, though, because we just talked about Henry Thomas playing Jack Nicholson. Very different to what we see here. I love Henry Thomas. I struggle with him as this old-timey town man just sitting on his porch.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to see him in everything. I think he could have been something else. He should have had a different part.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't feel like he was the father to this Judd character. I didn't see Judd coming from him and the
weird.
The casting was bad, I thought.
It almost makes you feel like they cast Henry Thomas first, and then they're like, or maybe the other way around, and like they brought Henry Thomas on because he's a great actor, but they don't didn't match the actor, like son Judson.
Yes, Judson I think Crando. If the son was maybe a little softer too, then I mean, this guy, he's trying to come off as this peace and loving character. He's going to join the Peace Corps. He's trying to get out of town, but he's not. He's like this jock archetype that doesn't jive with what I think they were trying to do with him.
No. I will say there were a couple characters that I did like, and they were the brother and sister. The brother and sister duo I thought were great.
Completely agree with you there. Donna Rivers and Manny Rivers, because I appreciated they actually brought in Native Americans to the story, which is rooted in, you know, the cemetery's history is the Native American lore,
it's basically
right?
Built on the land. And I thought maybe if they refocused it and it was just about them and Judd was a side character to make that connection to the movie.
That would have been better.
Yeah, it would have been a little bit better.
Oh, much better. Manny more. Because then when he loses Donna, that's going to be much more devastating.
Yeah, yeah, I just feel like they were characters I wanted to root for and made more sense, better performances from them. And I thought that maybe they went too soon. Yeah. Like,
I think it's also one of those things that is not as relatable when you're leaning into this draft aspect. I think especially when you're targeting, you know, a younger demographic, it's just not going to resonate with them as much. I get it. And I feel like it could have worked. Again, I think it boils down to the casting, because I actually did like Timmy. I thought that dude was sufficiently creepy for me.
Yes, I agree. He was a strong villainous lead.
And again, here's the situation. David Duchovny's not that guy's dad. You know?
No.
Give me some better casting, you know? And I look identical, just they have to seem viable. And they weren't at all in terms of that. Work. I didn't even realize that Kathy Crandall, Henry Thomas's wife, was Samantha Mathis? She did not look like herself at all. I didn't know that until I'm looking at the IMDb here.
No.
It didn't look like her. I'm very confused by that. I wonder if that's a mistake.
No, I think you're right.
That doesn't jive. But I also thought our blonde love interest of Judd.
Norma? Yeah.
So stock.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't. Doing anything new. There was nothing,
character. And the weird thing is they use the dog to bite her, but that dog.
Good scene.
Right. It was a good scene, but that dog wasn't from the pet cemetery. That was just a normal dog.
Is that a fact?
How could that
possibly be with the way that dog was like all hunched over and stuff in front of their car?
That's kind of what I'm questioning is. In the beginning, we don't see the dog being buried, right? We see a burial.
We see Timmy being buried. We see David Duchovny dragging Timmy's body.
Right. So my question, I guess it's more of a question, like, is that dog buried with him? I just don't understand that because...
I don't get that either.
It was confusing.
That's definitely a plot flaw. Because part of me, I immediately just, I guess, assumed that it was... you know, a zombie dog, which is one of the best parts about Pet Sematary is the way that they do zombie. It's its own thing, you know, the way that comes back. You're still you have all your memories, and then you start to devolve into something just murderous and horrific.
But also comes with like powers, like they have strength and like...
Right.
And yeah. Speed. Sometimes they've got speed.
Yes. And I'll never forget in the original one, the little kid, he's got the like, Lacane and stuff. He gets all fancy there.
Yes.
Fancy and creepy. Yeah, that's what sucks is because this is the first time we've really had a spinoff of this when it's got such an amazing, like iconic and unique take on zombies.
Yeah.
To then give us just this war veteran who's bitter and it's all about how rich people can get out of it. And I just felt like a little ham-handed in the directions that it took. There were some fun moments, right?
There were some fun moments, but I think there's a lot of other flaws here. Like, why was Henry Thomas's character able to do so much? Was it because of money? Where did they get money? Are they just farmers? There was just things that like didn't make sense. Like, why is Henry Thomas's character so like next
so much
level?
Richer.
Like. Is he the mayor? What is going on? Tell us.
Yeah. Too many plot holes.
Yeah.
That didn't make any sense. And just like David Duchovny trying to be all bitter and stuff.
Yeah. And then very quick to just get back on the page of like, all right, let's kill my son. I'll do it. And I'll go with him.
I know. He's going to suicide mode it. Take out his son.
I got nothing to live for, apparently.
One thing I don't remember from the original... Do they eat like meat like they're doing? Like they're doing like Timmy does in this one?
I think so. I think they have a staple of it? Ravenous hunger. Yeah.
But for just bloody meat. Okay.
I think so.
I don't remember that from
it. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, obviously they kill, but I don't know. That is another
Also like ice hockey? I know it's Maine, okay, but
yeah,
just like when the dad takes him the Let's night go before he can go, it. It's like, what? This does not seem like something that you guys would do. But back to the dog. So the crow hits the car, right? A crow or a raven hits the car, and then the dog.
And the dog's there.
I don't know how they see the dog, to be honest with you, because it's right in front of the car, and you wouldn't be able to see anything. So that was a little ridiculous.
Yeah, again, just really weird missing plot points.
Yeah.
Just kind of like,
but the way segmented. That dog was hunched over was pretty freaky. That's why I feel like he's got to be.
Well, right. That dog was a hell of an actor.
He was.
Best performance.
He was the best performer in it.
But yeah, we're just supposed to assume it's from the Pet Sematary, I guess.
One thing I did want to mention, because it seemed so like out of place, but it could have been good if it was done better, was when they go, okay, they go talk to this drunk priest who tells them the tale of Ludlow, the town, right? And then suddenly we're transferred back to, what is it? 1674, where we get the origin of this damned town. And we got these, what would you call them? Like colonizers, right?
Yeah, they're kind of a crew.
Looking for Ludlow, going through essentially where the Pet Sematary is. But Ludlow's already been turned. Like, who buried Ludlow for him to then come back? It was inexplicable, you know? Again, it was one of these things like, why are they looking for Ludlow? And how could he have turned so fast?
But a bigger, better question, who buried him?
Who killed him? How did he die to begin with?
I mean, I guess.
And then, of course, you do have the one Native American there who's like drumming.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what was going on with that either. It was just sloppy.
Yeah. Like what? That guy was there almost like a guard, but didn't do the job, apparently. Or didn't
It was a
care,
long scene.
Didn't care. Maybe it was like his revenge at these colonizers. But
yeah,
again,
maybe
could have been
he killed. Maybe if that was made clear, he killed Ludlow, buried him, and take this. I'm giving you back
your
Ludlow. Like this. That would have been cool, but there's no sign that that's what actually happened.
No, you're right. That's
super maddening.
It is. It is. And it is, I guess, double downing on the fact that they are zombies eating people. So that's what I got out of the scene, I guess.
What were your favorite kills? There was one I'd never seen before. When Donna shoves a shotgun through him?
Yeah.
Through Henry Thomas's Dan Crandall? I'd never seen that. I'd never seen a shotgun rammed through someone's gut.
And then
that was good. I like that. That got me.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I thought they were kind of tame.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of them. They're not like that.
They're not memorable. You got Donna who goes and like slices the nurse's neck with a scalpel.
Right.
Fine. And then you get this whole ridiculousness with Norma being buried by Timmy. He's trying to turn her.
Yeah.
Is he trying? He's turning all the women, right? Because he turned Donna.
Yeah.
And he's going to go for Norma too. It's like
kind of. Yeah, weird. It is very, very specific that he is going like only after the women.
Turning any of the dudes.
No. Great point. Great call. I mean,
I actually did go back and I kind of watched parts of it again because it was so forgettable. Unless I watched it like the day that it came out or whatever. I want to say good things about it and it's hard.
Yeah, no, agreed. I wanted to really like it. The scenes in the tunnels were very confusing as to which direction was or why there was tunnels there to begin with.
Underground tunnels suddenly involved. Anyway, let's talk about a good movie.
Yeah. This movie, like you said before we started talking, did kind of come out of nowhere. I remember seeing it pop up on Hulu like the week before it came out, and like I added it to my list just because I loved the poster of it too.
Very cool poster.
Great title. It's the poster kind of shows you exactly what you're going to get. People were loving it online too. I don't think it seemed like sneak sneak peeks of it or something, but this was fun. It was just a
It was so fun, and it was so unique, and literally this is the sort of alien movie I've just been dying for, yes. Honestly.
Same year.
And the fact that there's not a single word spoke
brilliant.
By anyone in the brilliant. Whole movie, and it's still compelling.
I was going to say, and fantastic performances. You get
amazing.
You get everything. You get that everyone does not like her. Very, very well defined. But you just don't.
I gotta
know
give
why.
This writer a lot of credit. Who is this guy?
Do you know who this guy is?
Brian Duffield.
Yeah,
and he's got a nice little track record there.
Yeah, he did the Babysitter movies, Babysitter and the Babysitter,
which is pretty scary if I remember those.
Yeah, I didn't see Legit. Love and Monsters. He wrote.
Didn't see that one either. I love Skull Island though, and I also love Spontaneous. Have you seen the show Spontaneous? I really was dying for that to get a second season.
No, I haven't.
But it's about people spontaneously combusting.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
It's great. You got to check it out. I feel like I saw Underwater too, and I liked it. But it has been long enough that I can't really remember.
Is that with?
If I'm honest.
Yeah.
But we got okay. Let's go through this puppy, because
yeah,
we start off. Okay. And I'm a little worried. I knew it was an alien movie, but I'm like, we're just gonna follow this like delusional girl who's wearing these 1950s clothes.
Yeah.
And we find out that she's just alienated. She is alienated.
She is the alien.
Makes the end so beautiful. She is the alien amongst the humans. And then that flip flops at the very end, obviously.
Yeah, it does.
But when we find out, she should be alienated. She's,
yeah.
I mean, granted, she's a kid when that happened, but
an extreme decision was made.
Very much so. I mean, she was old enough at that time to, and it was her friend too, to take a rock to your friend's head, even if they just pushed you down, is too much. So I'm really glad we didn't get that overtly at the beginning, because I wouldn't have liked her at all. And of course,
we
were rooting for her.
Have cared what happened to her.
And that's why I'm looking forward to talking about what the end means too.
Yeah, yeah. I would very much love to know your opinion as well.
Baby steps. I want to talk about the first alien sequence, which is just amazing to me.
It's terrifying.
She hears something. She starts walking down the stairs, and she sees the door open, and then she could see that the creature is walking there. We don't get that like overt shot at first, and the way that it's walking is so creepy. The sounds that it's making, these little clicking, amazing. It's like my beautiful nightmare. You know what I mean? That is.
The beats of these scenes, though, are so well done, suspense driven. They're horrifying because this is still a home invasion, whether they come in peace or not, which we'll talk about. But
that's a good question.
But it reminded me of the best moments from Signs.
Yeah.
Plucked,
yes,
right, like,
absolutely.
You know, on a small little farmhouse scenario.
100%.
I loved how you didn't know if this was just happening to her or everyone. Because that really kind of changed, like, because the whole time I'm worrying, like, no one's going to believe her. And this alien that she killed almost, like, accidentally, which it's... If you think about it, it's almost exactly the way she killed her friend. She spins around and just does it without even thinking.
I didn't put that together, but you're absolutely right.
Yes. And then it's
moment where you see like the alien, like it's still standing, but it knows it's dead.
Yeah.
You know, the way the eyes are just glistening. I would say 70% of the time, I really bought the CGI, you know what I mean? There were a few moments where
I agree, the way the aliens moved
and like the way they like were able to like move their bones or something within their body was something I'd never seen before. I think that first one was toying with her. He was totally effing with her. No.
Around the kitchen scene, you mean? Or
I think like the whole house, the whole time in the house.
Yeah, kind of a game of cat and mouse type of a situation.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. it seemed a little malicious.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, I mean, he does then suck the door into her.
Yeah.
That was not nice.
Not nice.
Well, okay, what's up with her little town? So because she's alienated so much by her actual townsfolk, she then has to build her own little model town to kind of feel like she has some control.
Yeah, it's her own perfect little
society. She's kind of like the overlord of that town, similar to how the aliens are overlording.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a place where she belongs, right? Or doesn't feel unwelcome. This is her town built to her specifications. I loved the sequence because there's really fun little small moments of humor here. When the mail fan, the package that he delivers, you're like, there's no way that thing's going to be okay. But
And that actually like, is everyone. The only time you hear words. He says, thank you. After he shoots. Yeah. That's only words we get. Outside of the music, of course. And that's something I really want to highlight.
But yeah, the records really
well-picked old-timey song, Knock on Any Door, is what it's called.
Yep.
By someone named Ruby. I don't remember the last name. But contextually, it worked. But beyond just the soundtrack, I'm talking about the score.
Yeah.
Because when you don't have words, you gotta have a compelling score, and I thought some of these moments with the sound just gave it so much more
atmospheric
tension.
It's
freaky. There's some freaky ass sounds going on.
Freaky sounds. I mean,
freaky music.
The lead actor here, I think I saw first in maybe Justified. I think she was in the show Justified as a little girl, but was really well performed. Just her face is like this canvas of just emotions.
Yeah, she's beyond expressive. I saw her in Unbelievable, I think was the first thing I saw her in, and then she was in that opioid one where she Dope Sick, where I think she was nominated for an Emmy for that,
right?
So yeah, I think she's on the fast track. What is Caitlin Dever?
She will be a household name for sure. And movies and picking fun projects like this. As an actor, you have to be like, I don't say anything.
To carry a movie without having any dialogue.
Right, but some actors may have been like, no lines? No, thank you. But when some actors might look at it as like, wow, what a friggin' challenge and what a quirky movie. Maybe it was written for her. I don't know, but what an excellent choice.
It was, yes. You know, I'm kind of curious because I know a lot of how actors are paid have to do with the amount of lines they have,
right?
You know,
yeah.
I wonder how they tackled the salaries in this one.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. It may have just been a passion project pitched to her, like, we wrote something for you, but this is going to be a classic, and people are going to be watching it every year for the rest of their lives.
How did you like the finger feet? These aliens have like finger toes sort of thing. They were so cool. I'd never seen anything like it before.
I completely agree. I think when you, you have your own little alien to create, you really start to think about how they move and what they use their hands and feet for. And these aliens basically have the ability to climb anything that they want. They were like on the, it made sense. It made sense that they had finger feet.
It did. But I also love that it was pretty much a classic gray with some exceptions, including just the weird way that they moved and they jerked around, and it was really scary. I mean, the way they moved was the scariest part about them.
Yeah.
It was traditional gray head for the most part. And I also love that we get so many different kinds. I did not see that coming at all. I thought we were going to get all these standards. Kind of like we see at the end when everyone's in the ship, they're all the same.
Yeah.
Which I found weird because we do get four really distinct ones, which makes me think it was a family, right? Yeah, she kills this first alien who I think is probably the male.
Right.
The dad.
Right.
Because then the next one she encounters, it seems like it's his wife is what I'm assuming because she's following up. And then you got this little baby one.
Yeah,
which has these crazy long arms too, and I don't know if you noticed, the baby one had claws.
Yeah, maybe it was just growing into its body. you know?
Yeah, maybe, because they, yeah, the other ones did have really long fingers, but this guy,
yeah,
he, this little monkey alien thing, he had some deadly claws. And then you get Grandpa, right? This behemoth of an alien with the longest legs. When that Grandpa alien is chasing her, it was horrifying. What I thought was a little silly, and I'm not sure that they should have done this, but when the Grandpa alien's climbing over the house, and then it bellows, it does this
alpha
roar. Dug that, the way that it like brought its arms back, and all of them do these strange like hand signaling sort of thing, and the baby at one point kind of does this V where it seems like it's stopped, you know, it's been paused or something. But to get back to the Grandpa, he climbs over, he has an amazing moment, and then as he's coming down, he slips and falls.
It's questionable, right? Yeah, it was like a questionable.
There's
decision.
No other comedic relief at all. And this is the scariest being that we've had, and you're going to give it this kind of like pratfall. That's my only complaint, I would say. When he gets into the car, it was awesome. He slices her with those crazy claws. The hands are so cool looking in this.
No, I thought the creature design across all of them was really, really well done. And it's that fine line, like you said, that there were times where I almost didn't want to see them as much as I did. It didn't bother me, but because of that opening sequence was so creepy, or is it the first time, that you kind of wanted to maintain that throughout, but you kind of you have to.
I think you needed it. I think you needed. I was satisfied with that Jaws-esque alien feel of the beginning.
Yeah,
but once we realize there's these weird implants that they're putting in people's throats, some sort of like regurgitated egg sort of
spider pod.
It just goes so many different places that I think at that point, and because there's so many variants of the alien, I was okay with it, because you weren't just seeing the same thing, and some of them would run, and like the normal stereotypical ones didn't really run after her.
No.
Like in the house at the beginning, you hear it scampering about, which is freaky as hell, but it doesn't like ever run at her, because it doesn't need to. It has this like telekinesis, which I had mixed feelings about, with all the messing around of the lights and the TV and the fridge door swinging back and forth. I found that a little cheesy, but I that's why I think this guy was taunting. He was really taunting, and he was being a dick.
I think that's a fair assessment. Yeah.
It bothered me, because why does she then freak out so much and spend all this time trying to shut everything off? It's like, aren't you kind of more worried about the alien than turning on the TV right now? There's a couple like questionable things that she does throughout it.
Sure.
Like putting the couch in front of the door.
Yeah.
And then putting up a blanket, like nailing a blanket to the doorway. Like that's going to stop anything.
No, I think it was more of that mindset of not being able to see it. You know, it's less terrifying. Yeah. But I completely agree. I mean,
I just found it a little silly, because she's dealt with so much, and now she's going to nail a blanket to the door.
But you have to, I thought it was kind of clever in the sense that what would someone do if they didn't have all of the means? You didn't have enough furniture to stack in front of a door, and there's an alien invasion, and you put a couch. It's just, I think it's, you improvise.
And to be fair, it does give us the moment of seeing the nails. Yeah,
which was fun. Yeah,
I did like that. I can't complain about that at all. What did you think about the moment? Okay, so she goes to the town, right? And she wants to tell people. She goes to the cop station. And then, of course, there's the parents of the girl that she killed.
And she gets
spit in the face.
Okay.
It was an awkward moment for me. Like, I didn't really buy that moment, if I'm honest with you. I know, because they couldn't talk. This is kind of all you could really do, I guess. But why didn't she then follow through and tell the cops what the hell was going on? She was dealing with an alien.
I think she was just reminded of how much everyone hates her.
Right. I get that.
Yeah.
Well, what I don't get is why some people have been turned, and others haven't, because clearly the people in the station there not turned. But when she then gets on the bus to go where is she going? That's something I was like, what's going on? She's going to get a bus runaway. I get the runaway part, but yeah, it seemed a little half baked. And then when like there's two aliens on the bus with her and the rest aren't, you see this one guy watching one of the guys like contort and stuff. Like, what's going on with this guy? And the bus driver obviously wasn't turned as well. It was weird. I wish I understood what the hell they were doing with certain people. If there was,
certain people
that are picked out for, because I got the sense everybody was going to be turned.
That's what I assumed as well. I think that's also a fair assumption that their goal was, you know, to get as many people as possible. Maybe it was just, I don't know. There's a lot of great questions there. I don't know if we'll get like a sequel that answers any more, or this is just a one and done. Because I think it's cool. A fun idea, but with an ending like this, I feel like you kind of finish the story that you want to tell.
I think it's done too. So. But I tell you what, the tension that's built in that first scene, as noted, when he traps her with the fridge door and you just see the two little feet at the bottom and then the one hand is reaching over before the head pops up, that was great. I really adored that. It made up for the fridge door just swinging back and forth. I'm like, okay, I can buy that. And just the way the alien died, and then I guess his little pod comes out of him, right? That's where we see this trail of slime.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where did that one go? Like, that I don't get.
Back to the mothership.
Kind of strange. Because it does seem these aliens do not leave any man behind. Anything that was dead, they retrieved.
Right.
Including the little, pod.
I did like the little marks left in the grass.
Yes. Okay. So what were those? Because initially you would think they was like a ship landing, but no.
I think it was the beam of up and down of like letting you know that they've been there. And I think it just means like a different one comes each time or something. But
okay. Because there's that great shot when she is in the bus and it's above like a drone shot and you could see all the different rings, you know.
Yeah. They're hitting the backyards and everything. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Nora, I don't think loved the ending of this. I thought it was kind of a fun ending, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on it.
Okay, well, to be honest with you, I'm not entirely sure what happened.
Same here. Which I like.
So for my...
I like it. It keeps me guessing. It keeps me thinking.
Right. Okay, so most importantly, she is shown what she's done, and mm-hmm. I think they see her able to now forgive herself.
Yes,
right. She's finally able to forgive herself.
Yeah, but why do they care
when she like touches the hand? Because then that's the moment that we get some crickle crackles from the aliens talking to each other. But then you get like word from on high. Like, I don't know if you remember. There's like this weird pulsing. Seemed like it was communicating to them that we're putting her back.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if it was those particular aliens, because obviously it seemed like they had a vendetta against her because she's killed some of them.
Right.
But from my perspective, they had this larger thing that they had to obey. I don't know exactly what it was. It was some weird pulsing maw situation at the top. What I did love, though, is how massive the inside of the ship was, because I've heard a lot of people who claim to have been abducted say when you're in the actual ship, it is like you're in this vast space. It's not, it doesn't reflect what the outer shell looks like.
Interesting. You know?
And I thought that was really cool. So she's dropped, but I want to go back to when she's cloned. Why is she cloned?
I don't know.
So she's able to figure out to take the little pod out of her, and then that pod then goes into her clone.
Yep.
Who that's beamed down or like built, 3D built, like in the beam or something.
Yeah. Some sort of like, was it because they couldn't beat her that they're trying to just like create another version of her that they could control? I don't know.
I don't get that. I don't get the clone part. I mean, it was a fun moment to then have her clone go and stab her with the same instrument that she killed the one alien.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure it's less about the aliens and more about, you know, her being able to approach herself and how is she going to, you know, deal with who she really is, you know, with somebody who's made a massive mistake in their life and lives with it constantly. But yeah, maybe it was just another thing that aliens were messing with her. Like, let's see what she would do in this situation.
It could be as simple as that. And that actually would be really cool. Honestly, Greys are associated with being trickster aliens. You know what I mean? They like to mess with people. So that would be cool. I'm gonna run with that. But I don't really understand why they let her go. I do think it's cool. She starts off as the one that's alienated, and at the end, she's the only one that's human, and everyone else is alien mode.
Yeah.
But it was a little cheesy with all the dancing and such.
Yeah, the music and the way it kind of ends on this upbeat moment. Was she just victorious?
It was a little goofy.
Yeah.
I think I would have been happy just her getting dropped back and then maybe just walking toward her home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That, I think, would have been better. Because we don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
But to then go into the mode where everyone in town now loves her and they're all pruning her bushes.
Unless she's dead, right?
She could be dead. They could have put that back in there, like super glued it in, because that those pods did have the ability to make you see things that weren't there.
Yeah, my gut reaction was like, oh, she's just in this weird simulation now where she thinks she's happy and everyone loves her. But I don't know. I don't know. I'd love to watch it again, though. It's a movie where I look forward to it. I'm like, oh, that was a lot of fun. And I know I'm going to pick up things I didn't catch the first time.
I watched it the day it came out, and then I watched it again in full today. I skimmed through Pet Sematary. I had no problem sitting through it again within just a couple weeks of having seen it. Because it was that strong, and it did stuff that I've never seen done. In the horror genre. I mean, what is it? A quiet place kind of does it a little
quiet
bit.
Quiet Place did
but
it
certainly
original.
You do
yeah,
get conversations. But it was fresh. It just felt fresh, and I loved the alien designs. Very timely.
Yeah.
Given what Netflix just dropped, Encounters. I don't know if you've watched any of those.
No,
but it's Steven Spielberg and Amblin have put together four episodes so far. I think they're going to be more, but of the major incidents of alien contact that have been like somewhat legitimized. The second episode is by far the best. It's about the Zimbabwe incident where a craft landed outside of a elementary school in Zimbabwe.
I think you've talked about
60
that.
Kids to this day say that it happened, and they were telepathically told, y'all are messing up the earth, get on the right track.
Why those poor children in Zimbabwe, where they should have just been going to the stupid idiots in America who are ruining
the planet? It's not the first time that there's another incident involving them visiting kids. I think it's because kids, A, are going to
they're the next generation.
But they're not going to attack you. These aliens are mortal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what this movie illustrates so well, too. It's like, yeah, sure, they got all these powers, but they're still really flesh and bone when it boils down to it.
Yeah.
And if you get them with a good little piece of a model home in the head.
Yeah. That'll do it. Okay, we'll have to give that a watch this weekend as well.
Encounters. I highly suggest it. I mean, Spielberg's behind it. The Zimbabwe incident is the one that Spielberg says has convinced him aliens are out. Real.
Wow. Okay. Very cool. I look forward to that.
It's definitely worth a look. Definitely worth a look.
Love it.
But I think that's what I got on this one. Double check.
Same.
Notes. Yeah.
Same. It's funny because I do know somebody who says they turned it off pretty early. And I'm like, all right, well, then the movie wasn't for you, because this movie is kind of what we were talking about a while back when we were talking about how we wish there were more alien movies, and that kind of felt like this whole invasion.
I was dying for this.
Yes.
And it pretty much gave me everything I could have wanted.
Yeah.
Just that grandpa alien alone was so cool.
Grandpa Alien did it. Yeah. All right. Well, we recommend this movie. This was a very fun movie.
Catch that one. Skip Pet Sematary.
Skip Pet Sematary.
And we're going to be back at you in the next episode. With some more Flanagan. More Henry Thomas.
Henry Thomas and Mike Flanagan.
We talked about in this one. And we talked about in the last one. Henry Thomas is on a streak here.
He is.
But yeah. House of Usher. Get ready for that. If you haven't seen it, watch it now so you are ready for the cast.
Love it.
But until then, stay alive.